you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Council.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to you. Know what I mean?
Craig Council.
Do you remember the very first night of Craig Timber?
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Council gets into one to right. His teammates call him Rudy, and Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Yes, the Cubs are the team of the moment. They are 11-3 since Danny Parkins left for Fox Sports 1. That's all I'm saying. Okay? 11-3. And Council has sounded better? You've heard that. You know that. It's all coming together as the mush is gone.
Craig Council with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is indeed time for the Cubs manager, Craig Council, right here on 670 The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, and Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. Hello, Craig. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, guys.
So it's awkward to talk about team chemistry and how, you know, you don't want to hammer a guy who's now gone. But the Cubs, 12-4 since Danny Parkins left town. Your thoughts, why that might be the case?
That's... I miss Danny. Don't you guys miss Danny?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we do. We do, Coach. We really do.
I miss Danny. I don't know why we should blame Danny for any of this. We miss Danny, and Cubs are doing well.
Yeah, we're crediting him. That's the thing.
we're crediting his
absence. Yeah,
by him going away.
Yeah, he's got a negative presence sometimes, and it's just
absence. Absence makes the heart grow fonder in Danny Parkins' case.
I think that is the case. That's what we're trying to get to here. Seriously, though. That was a freaking joy. We'll get to the pain of last night, but what a joy to watch that 18-8 August and that absurd offensive run. You said after Saturday that you were proud of how the team has gotten here to games of consequence in September. In what way are you proud of this bunch, Craig?
Well, I think we do a really good job of just showing up every day and staying in the fight, kind of, and ignoring the things that don't really matter, because what matters is the fight that day and the game that day. And the rest of it is, you know, understandably talked about and focused on, but you control what happens right in front of you. And I think this team does a really good job of delivering that on a daily basis. And that's what I thought August showed.
Expanding off that a little bit, obviously you flip the calendar to September now, and you have a very well-documented, strong track record in September. What, in your experience, is the formula for creating that strong finishing kick, and what about this team lends itself to a strong finish here?
Well, it's really kind of continuing on what we've done, and just to stay in the fight and worrying about today and nothing past it. And that's how you get there. Sometimes the circumstances of, you know, when you're chasing when you're behind, it kind of focuses you on just today. And I think that's a good thing. And that's the position we're in.
Do you feel like you deserve any credit for that stuff, for Craig Timber, as it was called in Milwaukee and as Cub fans are dreaming of?
I mean, look, you just do your job and the players do their jobs, and then we end up where we end up. you guys can figure that out, that other stuff out.
You know, it's funny. Certain times you get to watch baseball things over the course of the year and it comes into focus. I remember watching Ben Zobrist the first year he was here. And I was like, oh, that's now I get it. I'm seeing wins above replacement getting accrued just a little bit every single day. Like I felt like I got it a little more. I feel like there's some fans who are understanding what you bring as a manager a little more, just kind of watching the consistency and watching the level-headedness. Has that been your experience in your life that you get appreciated a little more with a bigger sample of experience?
I think my method has always just been like, I got to do what I think is right. And you have to be yourself and you have to be convicted in the things that you think help baseball players and help teams win games. And you take a ride while you're doing all that, and that's okay. But I think, you know, those are the things that have worked in the past. And of course, you're going to fall back on those.
Craig, the offensive numbers from the road trip were mind-blowing in some ways. When you kind of look through your lens and zoom out a little bit on what allowed that offensive explosion to occur, what do you pinpoint? What was behind that surge that obviously gave you guys a ton of momentum?
Well, I think our lineup has, you know, our offense has changed in that, like, just the production we're getting from nine hitters now is really what I think has changed. And that's what allows like that next hit and to get to the next hit, right? Like just the innings to continue. And anytime you're scoring the runs that we've scored, it's big innings. And so whether you take the ninth inning in Pittsburgh or the ninth inning in Washington, it's six guys out of seven hitters having great at bats. And I think early in the season, look, we were struggling at the catcher position. We were struggling. Pete was struggling. Dansby was struggling at a point, and we've just now have a lineup of like nine players that are adding offense and taking turns. And that, you know, obviously you saw the best of it in a best case scenario on the road trip, but it's impacted who we are as an offensive team.
What is what about Dansby's approach or results have made you comfortable to move him up to the two hole against lefties? And he's responded well to that when you've done it.
Well, I've only done it twice. So,
okay. Well, those games, he did pretty well in those games.
He's swung the bat well against left-handed pitchers just throughout the season. And you know, he's been consistent against left-handed pitching.
He had a single last night on a high fastball against Jarrett Jones. And it was like, wow, look at that. Like he looks like he's doing a lot of things right and showing some flexibility at the plate. What are you seeing with him?
Yeah. I mean, I think Dansby's in a good spot right now. I think that's why we play 162 games. You know, we don't get to pick our, you know, but you stay in the fight for all 162 and then your good stretches will come. And I think that's what's important. I think that's what Dansby's showing right now. And that's, you know, he's in a good stretch right now, and hopefully that leads to more offense.
Craig, another guy who's in a really good spot right now is PCA. I'm curious, as you've watched his season unfold, what you are most struck by in terms of the improvement he's made. And then Nico really talked about him a few minutes ago as a guy who just lends so much energy with the way he contributes. I wondered what you've experienced in that regard.
Well, it's fun having, I think first it's like, you know, he has athletic gifts and his speed is, it allows him to do things on the field that like we just don't see very often. The play last night is a play you don't see that in baseball a lot. Yeah. And you have to have just athletic gifts and speed to be able to do it. There are some instincts there that Pete deserves credit for, but it's also just pure speed that allows you to kind of make that play. That's a play that fires everybody up because it's an effort play. And it's that little attention to detail that got us two runs, that got the next hitter to hit. And then Ian got a big hit. But I think overall, Pete's just, I've just really enjoyed Pete's like maturity and how he's handled this season. His, preparation and his routines, just as we've progressed here, have just become ultra consistent. And I really believe that's a big reason for his success the last, 6-7 weeks. I think that he's seeing the benefit of all his great routines, of his great preparation, of his diligence before the game. I really think it's a great lesson. And it's hard as a young player, especially when you're not getting results, to kind of stick to something and to stick to that same routine that's maybe early on not giving you results. This is the game, really predicated on routines. There's so many games and there's so many days of preparation. You know, every day is kind of the same. And Pete's done a really good job with it, kind of despite, not always getting great results.
Yeah, it's interesting in terms of what to learn from it. What you just said is interesting. And we talked to Pete, 6 weeks ago, and he said that he had been told, just play defense, run the bases, and we're not worried about what you give us on offense. You said last time we talked, while he can still seemingly maybe do everything at the plate, go ahead and let him try to do everything. So, because that's working. We're starting to see everything in terms of the skill set that's possible for him at the plate.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should put it's really hard to do that to a hitter anyway. I think, Pete does have the ability to hit the ball out of the park. He has obviously the ability to bunt. To tell him where to hit the ball and how to hit the ball, I think is silly. Just go hit it hard, Pete, and do your thing. And I think that's the best way to get, the biggest outcome from him. And I think, we're seeing as he plays more and gets better at certain things, and certain parts of his game becomes the things that he can count on. We'll see him kind of establish an identity, but let's not write the story on it. Let's let Pete write the story. And I think he's showing us that there's a lot of possibilities still.
Talking to Craig Counsell here on the Scores Afternoon Show, Matt Spiegel and Dan Wiederer from the Tribune. How's Dan's debut been? Pretty good, I think, so far.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You're always great to hear. You're very complimentary of the folks who are filling in. And it means a lot, Craig. It just does. So last night, kind of the double gut punch of the loss and then the Justin Steele news. Do you know anything more about Justin Steele and the elbow soreness as of now than you did last night?
Well, we're kind of in the middle of the evaluation process and the testing process. So, the good news is that, at this point, we don't need to put him on the injured list, and don't think that we can still buy some time and see how he feels and see how he progresses. So that's the good news. And that's good news. But we're skipping his start. And obviously, in the position we need guys like Justin to be out there as much as we can. But we're going to kind of push this off and push some days off and see how he feels moving forward. And then we'll have to make a decision on kind of what's next.
There was a moment last year where there was a forearm strain, and that was like a day of terror. And then he was fine. Are we dealing with a guy who's tough as hell and sometimes pitches through things that other folks sometimes do not?
Yeah. I mean, I think Justin's tough. Absolutely. I think he pitches through things. Absolutely. I think he's experienced some forearm stiffness when he threw his bullpen in Washington. That raised some alarm bells. And it made it practical just to say, hey, you're not pitching today. And while but we have to get more information, like just for Justin, and Justin needs more information here. And as we get that, we won't rule anything out, but it's caused us to push the pause button for now.
Craig, to that end, how do you lean into the good news, obviously, that you don't have to make any drastic moves with Justin just yet, but also from your seat, plan and brace for the worst in case it is something that will linger on through the rest of the month and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, that's just part of this. I think you always have to be ready for it, and you're always prepared at kind of what's next. I think we're fortunate to have Kyle, just to be lined up for Kyle to pitch today. And so that's where we're going. And we'll keep getting information on Justin, and you know, hopeful that it's, you know, maybe we're just skipping a start. That's still on the table.
Jorge Lopez has been so great. And obviously that's unfortunate the way that went down last night. Did you think about another inning with Tyone? Was that a conversation or not something to be considered at that point?
No, I didn't. You know, J-Mo gave us seven good innings. J-Mo's been dealing with his own issues, and we wanted to make sure he's a bit able for his next four starts. Jorge Lopez has been great. Not just good, he's been great for us. And you feel really comfortable putting him in there. And he had a bad night. It's unfortunate. They put two balls in good places, and then he made a couple mistakes. And so we got to just live with that.
Craig, given the way you guys played coming out of the road trip and then to have a pretty commanding lead late in that game, how do you make sure that the loss last night and the way it occurred doesn't linger into tonight, given how much is at stake here down the stretch of the season?
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we've been good at, I think. I think baseball trains you to be good at those things. You have to turn the page because there's so much competition coming at you. So you turn the page, and I really don't feel like that's ever an issue.
All right, it's time to finally get to the important stuff, Craig. Can we hear about, I guess, was it a rebranding ceremony for the next Taylor Swift candle? Was it a vibes transfer? Like, how would you describe what went on last night? And can you paint a little picture of it for us, if you would?
Yeah, the candle ran out of wax, so we had to put a new candle in. And then, yeah, but we kept the flame lit. So that's Danny Mueller, Cubs equipment manager. That it made sure that happened, and we're on to the next one.
You're on to the next candle. So one candle lit the other, or did you have to use something?
Yeah,
to transfer?
No, we had to use the Olympic torch.
How do you know if the new candle has the same magic?
That's a good question.
How do I know if the old candle had any magic?
Good answer.
It's true. Does last night's result affect your confidence in the candle at all? Thinking about it.
I don't know what to say there. I'm going to say no, it really doesn't.
It sounds like maybe there wasn't a lot of confidence in the candle to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one of the great things about baseball is that because we get so many results, there's an opportunity for streaks like this based on your behavior every single day. And we all like have our little skits that we enjoy and take pride in and have fun with. And they happen really every day for every one of us.
Did you have one as a player that worked well? Like, did you have a same underwear stretch or same undershirt kind of stretch?
And players, Trevor Hoffman used to always say, they're not superstitions, they're just routines. So your routines almost become your superstitions. And I think that's how it is in baseball, but nothing like that. No,
my son's got an eye black superstition already at 11 years old. So I'll try to coach him through that. If you've got any advice on that front,
let him go, let it roll.
All right. Whatever feels good, do it. Right.
Yeah.
See, but seriously, like that stuff, you have the appearance sometimes, Craig, of being very, very serious and sort of dispassionate by design, you know? I'm sure this is not news to you on how that comes across from time to time. It's kind of, I think it was great for fans to hear about something absurd that entered your life like that. So you've got more absurdity in you than people realize, don't you, Council?
Yeah, I mean, to get through 162 games, we all do, right?
Yeah, I think you do.
Pirates again tonight, obviously, Craig, and Nico was referring to the game last week, the last time you faced Skeens, and obviously that was a roller coaster of a game, but he called it one of his favorite days of the season. When you reflect back to that comeback in Pittsburgh, what resonated with you the most about what that game was for this team?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a little surreal. The eighth and the ninth were just kind of like, you know, we made it close in the eighth. and still had a lot of work to do in the ninth. And then, you know, even with two outs, we weren't there yet. But it was almost like when Betancourt was up, it's like kind of like, oh, I think the right guy's up here, you know. And he was having a great day. And I think then what happened after it was so cool too. We just extended it and guys kept rolling, and that made it a lot of fun, and it also made the bottom of the ninth a little easier.
All right, Craig, this has been fun. Last thing, Nico Horner, we talked to him earlier. He seemed open, if a little daunted, by the idea of becoming my next partner here in the afternoons. And we're wondering, how many days a week would you be comfortable with allowing Nico to do the radio show?
I'd say like once every other 2 weeks. That's when we got a day off, basically.
So only on off days. Only on off days.
On off days, absolutely. Okay. On off days, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Noted. That's gonna.
You got 4 hours on the air?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's intimidating.
Could you do it? It's could you do 4 hours? I bet you could.
I could do it once in my life. That's about it, I think.
Craig, why are you so much more willing to let Nico host the radio show than you are to let him play 16 in softball on the media team?
Good question. It's an excellent question.
much safer. Nobody got hurt running their mouth.
All right, well, we're coming up on the playoffs, though, and I've definitely gotten hurt running my mouth on this show. So.
You almost got all of us hurt. Doesn't matter. Craig, all right, man. Thank you, and good luck with the candle and with September.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Man. That's Craig Counsell, the Cubs manager. It's a good question, Shane. He was like, yeah, well, you know, once every couple of weeks, sure, he could do the radio show.
Yeah, there was no hesitation there. I just wanted him to hit ninth and play second base.
I think it's a safety issue. I think that's true. I think dirt biking, if I had asked him if Nico could come dirt biking with us as a show, that might not have
worked. Which we do often, by the way, Dan.
A lot of us
here. And here are just
three of us. We go dirt biking right after
the show. I actually brought mine down today. I thought we were doing it at 6:30.
See, guy, this is why I'm happy with Dan Weider. He preps for the show. He brings his own dirt bike. He's got a lunchbox.
Yeah.
In it. We can reveal the contents of the lunchbox.
So they don't know yet, right? So they could maybe guess.
Oh, yeah.
Segment by segment.
That's
what's
excellent.
In the lunchbox. There's four things in the lunchbox today.
Shane Tanney, if you'd like to make a guess on what's in Dan Weider's lunchbox. I guessed Capri Sun and an Uncrustable. I was 0 for 2 on that front. So we'll get there. All right, look. The captains of this Bears team, as announced, eight captains. To me, it hammers home an overall Bears feeling. Want to ask you about that. Pat Manley at 4 o'clock. Lots of Caleb Williams conversation. A Jalen Johnson piece of tape later on, as I think Dan Weider wants to spike a ball. That should be entertaining. Keep it here all afternoon on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Captains. We got captains. Voted on those last week. Really good group of guys from Jalen Johnson to DJ, Caleb Williams.
Have you ever been part of a team that had a rookie captain before, and why?
Yeah, I haven't had that before. But again, I put it to a vote. I had it with offense and defense, and I had the guys rank those guys, and he came out really high. So, and all those guys did. That's what's great about it. And we had other guys that had great votes too, just not enough to get into that captain's vote. But that's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
Oh, captain, my captain! Oh, captain, my captain! Take me to the end of... oh, God, now I forget the... what's that movie? I'm forgetting it with Robin Williams.
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society. You young Ethan Hawke.
Gotcha.
Right there. Thank you, Dan Wiederer, for picking that up. We don't have to wait till the texters to correct me. And then there's like 10 texts in a row. And I'm like, thank you. And also thank you, Dead Poets Society. All right, so let's talk about this. It's Matt Spiegel on Score Afternoons. Dan Wiederer is the co-host today. Should be a very fun week. Hopefully we get some clarity on the full-time situation. And a start, maybe even, by next week. We will see. But of these eight captains, they all seem so completely and utterly legit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see a captain mentioned or you're like, well, they give that dude a captaincy. That's interesting. Each one, let's go through them one by one, you and me.
Sure.
Okay. The hometown kid tight end who got a second contract is clearly a top flight communicator with a broadcasting present and future.
Yeah.
And seems to be a connector in that clubhouse.
There's no question. And Cole is, I can say unequivocally, one of Ryan Poles' favorite dudes because he's a guy that comes in every single day into the building with the same mentality, the same desire to be available and ready for whatever they need him to do. Hasn't missed a game yet in his first four seasons and is just completely wired to set a tone for an organization that he grew up rooting for. And I know we'll get to a little bit more of that later, but yeah. You talk about a guy whose heartbeat, you know, pumps for the opportunity to accomplish major things with this franchise. It's there every single day. And so I think he's a great choice to be one of those leaders.
That's pretty awesome. You've got the uber confident cover corner who got justifiably paid at the top of the market, is an emerging league-wide star who seems to be trying every bit as hard as he was in his payment year.
And who's a guy who has kind of made extra efforts to be a leader. You know, in the early days, it was, okay, I need to become a player in this league. And as he established himself as a player, he said, I need to bring other guys along with me. I need to be a tone setter at practice. I need to be a guy who leads with the way I approach my craft. You get to talk to him regularly during the season. You've gotten a feel for how he's wired. And what you just said there, I think, is so poignant because if there was any concern anywhere in the world that Jalen Johnson was going to get a new contract and get some recognition as a Pro Bowler and just suddenly take a deep breath and sigh, he seems to have gotten angrier, Spiegs, at the rewards he's gotten and wants to get even more, you know, and it's really, really contagious to feel that passion and that hunger that he has every time you talk to him.
Somewhat related, Eddie Jackson is gone. The OG safety who's here now, the former All-Pro who has immediately stepped in as a vocal and seemingly experiential leader of one of the best units on the team, and Kevin Byard.
Was a little worried late last month when Kevin Byard missed a couple of practices because his entire MO was that the only time he had ever missed a day of work, period, in his professional football career was when his children were being born. And so you had a guy who was always on the practice field at all times. He's now north of 30 and has to kind of fight harder to do that, and you hope he stays healthy because he has played every single game of every single season he's been in the NFL as well. And when you have those guys, I think one thing that you hear from the guys on the defense and then the coaches in the building about Kevin Byard is that his vision for what's happening on a play is truly elite, right? And when you can communicate that to other guys around you and then use that to enhance the trust of a secondary now that is just loaded with talent. I mean, that group could be the best position on the team and could be the engine of their success until Caleb's ready to be the engine of their success.
We're going through the captains as announced by the Bears because it feels akin to where we started the show. This overwhelming optimism that exists is partially because guys like this feel so completely legit as captains. You got the two linebackers who are both clearly mature adults. One is a second generation yep. NFLer, and the other is another hometown kid linebacker who was a more valuable signing than the big money guy. Got both of them as captains.
The other thing that becomes thematic with all these guys you're naming is they're really good players, you know, and it's not just a little sort of ceremonial designation for the work hard guy, you know, who's in the room. These guys are work hard guys, but they're also really good. And I think Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards are two guys who experienced the rise in other franchises, right? They were with teams in Buffalo and Philadelphia that had to climb, you know, and had to understand what it took to become a team that could win every single time it went out on the football field. That experience helps them. It gives them perspective. It gives them a little bit of respect in that locker room to let their voices be heard because they've been to places. TJ Edwards has played in a Super Bowl. Tremaine Edmonds has gone deep into the playoffs a couple different times. And so you have that experience that you can lean into a little bit.
You've got the 40-year-old tight end who is one of the greatest blockers ever at the position who wants to keep playing just so he can block and be a part of things. Like, that's an ideal teammate you're talking about.
The big dog, Mercedes Lewis, year 19, age 40. The only guy in the league currently that is older than him is Aaron Rodgers, his close friend and former teammate in Green Bay. And you've got a guy who is just absolutely invested in the grind. I mean, Mercedes Lewis, Caitlin Sharkey and I talked about this on the Take the North podcast in an episode that'll launch tomorrow. He could go to a beach chair anytime he wanted and order whatever kind of drink put him at ease, you know, but he wants to come to training camp for the 19th time and be a guy that can show the way for a young and hungry team.
He's a crazy person.
And he gravitates toward this. And when he signed here the first time in 2023, he talked about this being his gift and not wanting to sort of forfeit that gift too early or before he's ready to. And his body still feels good and he feels ready to take this Bears team on a journey, you know, and this team, as you and I have talked about, some of that optimism that's here is the feeling that this is going to be a journey, that this is going to be a road that this team can be proud of, and they're in the early stages of it, and Mercedes Lewis will be part of that.
There's a lot of dudes who want to play to that age and beyond, but their skills erode. He's got a role where the skills don't erode as long as the fitness
very specialized
doesn't.
Role, right? Yeah. And takes pride in it. And you saw it last year with some of the things he put on tape as a blocker. You go, okay, I get it. I get it now.
All right. Then there's the well-paid dream teammate wide receiver in DJ Moore, who I don't think is going to care too much if his targets go down because there's so many weapons, and he seems to have that in his DNA as well.
DJ's an interesting character. Of all the guys we've talked about in this segment as captains, he's the one whose personality is different. You know, it's just a little bit different.
He says he's funny, even if his teammates don't think he's funny.
Yeah.
He believes he's funny.
You're trying to get to know him a little bit more each way. You know, he said he's never really set out to be a team leader, never set out to be a captain. He said he's done the same things in Carolina that he's doing now in Chicago. But I think the guys, Spiegs, I think they respond to the production, right? And this dude has been productive no matter who's been throwing him the football in every season he's played. And he's had a lot of different quarterbacks throwing him the football.
Yeah.
And so I think when you've got a guy that doesn't carry on no matter how much change is going on in the organization, no matter how much change is going on in the offense, and just goes out and says, throw me the football and I'll make plays, and then does so, you've got a guy that is going to be one of those guys you can lean on every Sunday when you need a play.
Yeah, and then you've got the eighth and final captain, the rookie quarterback.
Who's he?
Who seems like a natural leader.
Yeah.
Seems like a guy who, frankly, might have been made for this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see a rookie quarterback there, but what are your thoughts on Caleb being there?
Yeah, so on the rookie end of this thing, it's very rare for any team in this league to not have their QB1 as one of their team captains. It's really just sort of a thing that happens in every single building around the league because you want your quarterback to be that guy. Now, that said, Caleb is very natural in this role. Caleb is very wedded to this role and understands the responsibility that comes along with that of all of the things that he's done since April that has really impressed me. It's his understanding of how he needs to be the hub of energy for this locker room, you know, and to be that, number one, he's going to have to make connections in the locker room. Well, guess what? He's done that so far. Number two, he's going to have to go and prove to his new teammates, some of who have been in the league for 19 years, like Mercedes Lewis, that he's willing to work as hard as they are.
Yeah.
Caleb's done that. On top of all that, he's going to have to produce. And that next challenge starts on Sunday. But he goes into it with a lot of wind at his back for the way he's handled himself since he got in here the day after the draft.
You know, it is usual that the starting quarterback is a captain. And I just checked the one comp I was interested in. C.J. Stroud was a team captain from season start for the Texans last year. But it also does strike me as like a natural extension of what you're asking the kid to do.
Yeah.
Yes, we want you to be a leader, but you also have to be properly deferential of dudes who have come before you and a culture that pre-exists.
Here's where an 8-person captaincy makes a little bit of sense to me, because it sort of mirrors what they're trying to do on the field, which is, hey, Caleb, we need you to be special, but we don't need you to be special all the time.
They had 7 last year for the Texans, though, I will say.
Okay.
So, but need you to be special, but not special all the time.
Right. And so if you need guys to carry some of the weight, sometimes they're here. You know, we supplied you with a group of offensive playmakers that you can throw a screen pass to DeAndre Swift and he can turn it into a 42-yard gain. You can throw a quick out to DJ Moore and he can break tackles and get you 25. You know, you don't have to do everything for the production to add up. It's the same in the leadership role. If there's something one of these other 7 guys can handle,
let them do it.
Ask them to do it, you know, and just communicate. You have their respect. You have their ear. Let your voice be heard and use it for good.
Plenty more on Caleb Williams later on in the show. Surprised that Montez Sweat was not a captain, or no?
I mean, I guess
only
because
he's 8.
Right. And he's your best defensive player, most likely. If it's not Jalen, it's Montez. And he was certainly the most productive. Not sure what went into that part of the vote. It doesn't stun me. It also doesn't bother me, because those other 8 guys are so obvious as choices, right? Like you hear those names and you go, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Dan took one of his deep dives on one of the aforementioned captains. I want to get into that next. Patrick Manley at the top of the hour on captains and long snappers, but really kick return strategy and overall Bears pessimism, if it exists or not. We talked to Pat at 4. Keep it here on Spiegs and Weedsy on the Score.
I would say, you know, talking with Flus since we've been here, you know, Cole embodies everything that we look for in a Chicago Bear. Dependability, toughness, great locker room guy, does everything that he's supposed to. And then on top of that, the production, you know, he's done a really good job through adversity, never flinched, never blinks through the ups and downs. So it was really cool to get him done and extended and keep him here in his hometown. And like, how cool is that?
Bears. Cole Komet and the Bears.
Shane Gillis is a fan. Who isn't, really? Hometown kid. How cool is that? Cole Komet was in 2nd grade when the Bears went to the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. I learned that from Dan Wiederer's piece in the Tribune today. I love this one, Dan. Since Komet was born in 1999, the Bears have used 28 starting quarterbacks. So we found another way to frame the quarterback starvation. It's since the birth of Cole Komet. But one more for a nugget from the piece, which is excellent. In his, what, 4 seasons?
4 seasons.
They've changed starting quarterbacks 16 times.
Yeah, so much for continuity, huh, Cole?
16 times, like going from Dalton to Fields, back to Dalton, back to Fields. You're talking about like definitive, like, right, no, like, this is our guy.
Right. From 1 week to the next, it's not the same guy. Right. And then 16 different times for myriad reasons that has occurred. And it's cost Cole continuity. And what you hear from Ryan Poles in that soundbite there is a guy who's never flinched through all of that and has continued to produce and continued to be himself, has earned the contract extension, which he's now in the first year of here this year, and has an opportunity now to be one of the not only team captains, but one of the core production guys on this offense. When you talk to Cole about that, he says, look, like, you look back at it and you go, man, that's a lot of change to go through. He does feel like he's come out the other side of it as a more complete all around player, because he's had to adapt as much as he had. And he feels like it has kind of molded him into who he is now, for better or for worse. That continuity has made him a guy that they're going to lean on heavily in 2024.
Yeah, you know, when you say one of the big production guys, I can't figure out who are like the fantasy football draftees on this team.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Cole Komet lasted a long time in a draft I completed the other day. I ended up with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen went after Roma Dunze in that draft.
A lot of mouths to feed in the passing game, for sure. And that's going to be up to Shane Waldron to kind of figure out what the priorities are and how you kind of manage that week by week. And then Caleb's going to have to figure that out. My advice to everyone in the last month is DeAndre Swift, and probably Cairo Santos as well, because I could see an early start to this Bears season where they put together some really, really good drives like they did in Buffalo, but they end with field goals.
I love the idea of DeAndre Swift being fed. That makes all the sense in the world for a variety of reasons. But back to Kmet, because this piece, it's great stuff about Cole, but man, his impressions of Caleb in here, if like a dude who has lived some of Mitch and some of Justin and all these changes that you're talking about, this guy notices what is different.
I mean, it's crazy because it does in some ways feel like Cole just got here, and yet he does go back to the Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy days, you know, and so he has this perspective and he has this ability to frame everything through the lens of a guy who understands Chicago's pain as well, right? And like, so his voice resonates because he is this dude who can connect the locker room and the fan base because he's a member of both things. And when he talks about Caleb, he knows what the starvation is here in this city for a quarterback who's the real deal. And he knows what comes with sort of falsely crowning guys the savior before they've earned that right. Nobody's crowned Caleb the savior yet. But what Cole tells you is he's different. And I thought one of the more profound moments of the entire preseason was when he was sort of describing all of the things that he's become enamored with Caleb throughout the last 3 or 4 months. And Mark Potash followed up and said, well, you know, you've played with a lot of different guys here. Is Caleb different? Is there something different about him? And he just, matter of fact, on the podium with the mics on and the lights on, said, oh, yeah, he's different for sure. And you just sit there and you respect the voice because you know Cole's not one of those guys that just blows smoke and gives you half truths because they sound good. He really believes that this quarterback is engineered to be a star in this league, and he's just getting his career started, but it sure feels like it's a rocket ship headed someplace.
I mean, like everything in this town, this Cole Kmet conversation, all conversational roads lead to Caleb Williams. They just do.
They all do. Yeah.
You end up there.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up there with Nico Horner.
Yeah. Comparing him to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. You know. So
look up here on the TVs right here. We're talking about Caleb on the on the national networks.
Oh,
right?
Like, I don't watch those national jamokes. Those windbags.
But that's the epicenter of Chicago Bears conversation right now is this kid.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of NFL national conversations getting there, sure. But for Bears conversation it is. And yet he's not going to need to be the hero every single week, which is why it ends up being so fascinating. But I got to say this. If I've learned anything, if I've gotten more emboldened than anything I've learned in doing, you know, doing radio in this town as long as I have, it's the power and effect of what kind of person you are ends up mattering more than your skill set. Like, it just, your skill set is massively important. Yeah. Massively important. But in terms of like a long career, like being able to actually have an impact over multiple years. And so the way that you wrote about Caleb, the rookie's blend of charisma, humility, drive, and composure. I mean, bam, think about that. Think about those things. You got a quarterback who's got those things.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about being a nice person. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about like the characteristics you need as a badass athlete in a league full of badass athletes. Those characteristics, that's how you end up with special for an extended period of time.
I relate this back to my start on the Bears beat 11 years ago and the quarterback who was in that role then. And it was a guy with all the gifts as a thrower, as a guy that understood the game of football, was tough as nails, could do a lot of things. The biggest knock on Jay Cutler from just about everyone who ever played with him is he didn't really want to be the hub of energy in the locker room. It wasn't interesting to him. You know, and so
the hub of energy and our hub of energy was hosting yesterday.
You can get by, you know, and you can have some level of success in that realm.
Sure.
To the tune of 51-51. I think that was Jay's record as a starter here. To be one of the greats in the game, you have to take on more than that. And when a team needs you to be more than that, you have to say, okay, I'm going to step up and be more than that. And that means, you know, steadying a team through a bit of turbulence. It means getting yourself grounded after a run of success. Caleb understands all of this at a very young age, has a maturity, has set his sights on this for a very long time, and not only set his sights on it, but invested so that he has the mentality to do these things that will make him that way. It's really cool to be around. I did not expect to be in this place personally with where the chatter was in January and February as everyone was trying to get to know more about him in the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
These dudes in the building swear by him, and he hasn't played a game yet.
It's crazy, man. And like quarterbacks who've been successful and have been willing to be that hub of energy, and like they can have some of these personality traits, this charisma, humility, drive, and composure, and still be jerks.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and you can pick them out, or like it's Philip Rivers or whoever it is.
Yeah.
But they still have that stuff, and it gets respected by their teammates and packs a different kind of wallop. He's Dan Weider. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is the Scores Afternoon Show. Patrick Manley is next. Keep it right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.